Maybe. Well, it's good to be with you here this morning, and hope you keep your Bibles open there to 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, there's times in your life as you get out, and there's certain interactions that just kind of stick with you. And, of course, in the ministry here and serving as pastor, there's certainly a number of interactions that stand out in my mind. And sometimes in the midst of those visits, just things that are said. I remember walking into a hospice house and going to try to be an encouragement to a lady, Marie was her name, and trying to be a blessing to her. And I walked in, and there she was in the final days of her life, and she looked at me, and with a big smile, she said, "God is good." And that's something that just stands with me, you know. You're going to try to encourage somebody, and immediately they're just an encouragement. There's times like that that I remember. There's other occasions that I remember as well. In the midst of some of the visits that I have, and on one occasion I went to see another woman who was older and in her later years. Didn't seem like she had much longer on the earth, and I remember talking with her, and her visit was a little bit different, and she was discouraged and felt, I think, somewhat alone, somewhat dejected, health wasn't well, didn't have a whole lot of interaction with the family. I remember trying to encourage her and saying, you know, maybe the Lord will come back today. And she said, "Oh, they've been saying that since I was a girl." And you know, on one hand, what she said was true. It is something that has been said. It's been said time and time again. But I think that where sometimes we go wrong is, like in her instance, we confuse imminency with immediacy. The Lord never promised that He would return at such and such a time. I can't tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back this month, but I can say that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back today. The difference between imminency and something that is immediate is something that is at hand versus something that is known to be just around the corner. When the Lord told us, He said that no one knows the day or the hour. He left us the instruction to watch and to pray. And it's interesting here recently in the news how that there's been a lot that has really grabbed my attention. I wanted to take this phrase we looked at last week, but the end of all things is at hand. And last week we took that to a personal level. The fact that all of us one day will stand at the judgment. We will stand before the Lord either at the judgment seat of Christ if we're a believer, or we will stand at the great white throne judgment if we are lost. We all have that as an imminent event in our lives because we are appointed unto death. We are appointed once to die, the Bible says, after this, the judgment. But we also need to look at this verse in a broader context. Last week was more the personal judgment that we face. I want to look at this today at the reality that the whole world and the things of this world are coming to an end in events that we know in Scripture, such as the rapture, the tribulation, and the second coming of Christ, followed by the millennial reign, that those events are at hand. And there are things that are transpiring in the world around us today, which as a child of God, we should be in tune with, and which should cause us to lift up our eyes and to say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, our redemption draws nigh." I want us to look at this phrase today, the end of all things at hand, and make this somewhat of a eye-opening Sunday for us today, to look at the world around us, something that ought to be an encouragement to us, to use this day that the Lord has made, and every day for His glory, but also to be an encouragement to us today that God's Word is truth. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, understand it is the truth, and God calls you to repentance and faith in Him today. Let's ask the Lord to bless us as we begin this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to You today, and Lord, what a blessing it is to live in the days in which we do. But Lord, You have called us at such a time as this. Lord, You've called us to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, You have given us instruction to be sober and to watch and to love fervently. And I pray, Lord, that we would take those things to heart. Let us look at the events of the world around us. And by these things, Lord, may we see that Your Word is truth. May we see that the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Lord, may we ourselves be living a life that is redeeming the time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The thing that really grabbed my attention recently and was in the news, and perhaps you saw it, was how a business here in the United States recently has gone to implanting their employees with microchips. This is a trend that has been growing within our society. The technology is there. And recently, a Wisconsin firm that specializes in designing company break rooms announced it was offering implanted chips to all its employees. These chips that the employees will have is something that's inserted under their skin, in their hand, between their thumb and their index finger. It allows their employees to make purchases in the company break room, to open doors, to log into computers, to use copy machines, and among other things. Would you hold your place in 1 Peter chapter 4 today and turn with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 13. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. The Bible in Revelation 13 is giving us prophecy regarding the coming Antichrist and the false prophet. In Revelation chapter 13, he begins to talk about their government and talk about their dominance and the way that they dominate the world, not just in a governmental way, but in an economic way. We find the way that they do that in verse number 16, where it tells us that he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. We found in Scripture this promise of what is coming in the future, and the technology is here today. Recently in Las Vegas, a group of individuals who call themselves hackers, they have met together and they have discussed and begun to implant themselves and try to help implement implantation of these devices throughout America. They view implants as a way to interact seamlessly with the technological world and to enhance human senses. And I want to emphasize that for just a moment. They see these implants as a way to enhance human senses. They await the day when microchips give humans the ability for echolocation and to see infrared and ultraviolet light, to enhance the capacity to smell, sense direction, even feel vibrations that reveal movement in the stock market. One individual that was interviewed in this article, he says that the coming years will be about breaking through that barrier and saying it's okay to want to be more than what biology offered you. Implantable chips are now being used. One individual raised his hand. He said, "This is my train ticket. Implantable chips soon will be able to carry out the functions of credit cards and keys. It can emulate every card in your wallet so you can throw your wallet away." Of course, the one thing that they're looking for is for people who are well known and popular to begin to accept these implanted chips. For instance, one individual said, "If Johnny Depp puts one of these in his hand, then they'll be everywhere." Furthermore, another individual in the interview, he said, "We need to stop pretending that we are perfect and that we are the pinnacle of evolution." He said, "Implanting chips is going to help take us to the next level." Now, several things in this passage stand out to me. I've often looked at the technology that we have, and of course, it's been in place for a number of years. And I've often looked at it and thought, well, how is it that people across the United States will one day be willing to accept the mark of the beast? How is it they will be willing to have these things implanted? And the thing that always stood out to my mind was the convenience that they could offer. You don't have to have a wallet anymore. You don't have to have a set of keys anymore. No more losing those things. No more of that. No more stealing your identity. You just walk right up to a door, scan your hand, and you're in. You scan the computer, you're in. And we look at the convenience of it. As the one individual said, "This is my train ticket. I don't have to have anything else. I just walk up. I cannot forget it. It's always with me." But you know, as I read this article, it stood out to me even more was for the first time, the picture became even clearer as to what is going to be offered in the tribulation through the beast and his mark. Did you hear what these people are saying these chips will be able to do one day? They will make you superhuman. You will be able to see things you couldn't see before. You'll be able to smell things you couldn't smell before. You'll be able to do things that you could never do without this chip, without this mark. And as I began to think about that, I began to look back into Revelation chapter 13 and remember what it is that the false prophet's going to do. The Bible tells us in verse number 14 that he will deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. My mind went back to Genesis chapter 3, and I remember the first promise that Satan gave to Adam and Eve, where he said that if you will take my mark, eat this, take a bite of this fruit, then you will be as gods. It'll take you to another level. In the coming days of the beast, when people accept the mark, when they are implanted or whatever that mark is, it will not be done in ignorance. It's not something they're going to do simply because of convenience. Every man and woman that takes the mark will do so in worship of the beast and rejection of Jesus Christ, and the false prophet's miracles will convince humanity to do it. As Revelation 13 informs us, you will no longer be able to buy or sell without this mark. Such a set of circumstances would necessitate, think about it, it would necessitate the elimination of cash from society. And what do we see going on around us today? I rarely use cash myself, and then I discovered this article. Did you know that Visa recently offered 50 different small businesses $10,000 apiece if they would go completely cashless? The company has declared their challenge the war on cash and argues the benefits of going cashless can outweigh the costs of handling cash. They've already done this in businesses in Europe, and they're doing it right here now in the United States. Again, you look at verse number 17, one day no man will be able to buy or sell except they have the mark. What I'm doing is I'm looking in Scripture and I'm looking at the world around us and the technological advances and the movement of our society, which is going to willingly embrace all that the false prophet and the beast are going to try to accomplish in this world. I believe as we look at these events, we stand on the precipice of what we read in 1 Peter chapter 4, the end of all things is at hand. But that's not all. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 3 through 6. And this is something that you don't find just in the everyday news, but something that has been transpiring in the world today, something that is going on, something that was prophesied, and we can see it and how the world is moving and gearing up for the coming tribulation. You'll notice again, this is a testimony about what the Antichrist is going to do. In verse number 3, let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The Antichrist will be revealed. We read in the Old Testament what reveals him as he makes a treaty with Israel. I believe it's a treaty that will enable the temple to be rebuilt. In fact, look at verse number 4 and see what the Antichrist will do. It says he opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, and here's what I want to emphasize, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Another thing that we find in Bible prophecy is that during the tribulation time, the temple will be rebuilt. The temple will stand again. There will again be sacrifices being made in Israel. In Daniel chapter 9, the Bible tells us that the Antichrist will enter into the kingdom and he will cause those sacrifices to cease. We see here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he will set himself up to be God and to be worshipped in the temple. Did you know that just recently, on July 31st, thousands of Israelis marched around the walls of Jerusalem's old city at the beginning of the ninth day of the month Av, which is a mourning fast, to remember the destruction of the first and second Jewish temples, which were destroyed on the same day. They marched around those walls in support of building the third temple. Orthodox Jews believe that that ninth day of the month of Av will be kept until the Messiah comes to build the temple and bring peace to Israel, at which time it will become a celebration. In truth, the third temple will not be built by the Messiah, but by the Antichrist, and will be desecrated by his presence. Right now, the desire to build that temple is growing in Israel. In fact, here's another recent event, June 27th. For the first time in approximately 2,000 years, since the time of the second temple, plans are being formed by the Israeli government to build an effective infrastructure for Jews to make their obligatory pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. God had commanded in the Bible that Jews go to the temple three times a year. So that third temple will require a functional infrastructure that could facilitate the transportation of millions of Jews to Jerusalem during and after the festivals. They have already started construction on a fast train that will run from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And the one who is in charge of building it, who has put it currently under construction, he says, he's a member of the Jewish priestly caste, and these are his words. I have a special connection to the holy site. In front of my eyes, I constantly see the words, prepare the way, prepare the way. The train is being built to carry pilgrimaging Jews right to a rebuilt temple. This day, that construction is underway. You can read in Revelation chapter 11, you can read where there's a prophecy of a great earthquake in Jerusalem where the tenth part of the city will fall, and of the earthquake, 7,000 will die. We might not look at Jerusalem and think of earthquakes today, but here just recently in Israel, they carried out a preparation for a major earthquake. They called it Earthquake 2017. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, there are enough earthquakes around us in all sense of the world, in all sense of the word, but we live adjacent to the Syrian African Rift. An earthquake can hit at any moment. They already have, and they undoubtedly will, just as the Bible prophesies will come in the tribulation. Furthermore, in the world at large, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, this know also, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the chief characteristic. And all around society today, we have a society that is madly in love with itself. And that is why the selfie craze has grown into a craze. The underlying factor in what drives abortion is a love of self. It's why marriages are in such shambles today. Well, listen to a new trend. It's what's called sologamy. It's self-marriage. The most extreme example of self-love in an age of self-love has been growing over the past few years. It began about 15 years ago, of course, in California, and has spread across America and to other nations. The practice has no legal recognition, although I can't wait for that to be legally recognized. But one of the major promoters says that this is has a website for it. You can go on the website. It's imarriedme.com. It features self-wedding planning kits, including self-wedding rings that are worn. And that self-wedding ring reminds you every day to love yourself. That's what we need to be reminded of, right? Love yourself. Never forget today to love yourself. One was interviewed when she married herself. She actually invited family and friends. Can you imagine attending a wedding like this, where a person makes vows to themselves? She says, I would describe it as women saying yes to themselves. It means that we are enough, even if we're not partnered with somebody else. In one instance, back in 2007 in China, a man married his bride. His bride was a cutout photo of himself wearing a red bridal gown. Again, this know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And it's getting to extreme proportions in the world around us. Of course, just this week, we're reminded of the prophecy that Jesus said. He said, in those last days, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Right now on Fox News, on ABC News, on CBS News, you'll find all sorts of wars that are being reported on. We know right now, of course, the issues with North Korea. I read this week of U.S. missile defenses failed to stop a North Korean H-bomb from landing in our nation's capital. It could kill roughly 500,000 people, injure another 900,000. If an H-bomb hit New York City, the death toll would reach over 1.7 million. Can I say that in the tribulation, the coming tribulation, there will be a lot worse carnage than that? Netanyahu made this statement, his advisor did, the Syria ceasefire could actually lead into an Iran and Israel war. It says it could make that war inevitable, and I would agree, it is an inevitable war. It will happen. And then, of course, we look and we can see places like China and India that are at standoff. ISIS still in existence, Venezuela on the brink of total anarchy. Our president just this week saying he's willing to put military action in place in Venezuela. Afghanistan is still a mess. Iran says that America will be destroyed. All of these wars. And of course, there's Russia. The Bible refers to the land of Russia as Gog and Magog, also refers to Russia as the king of the north. In both Ezekiel and Daniel, read of a war that Russia will wage throughout the Middle East against Israel, against the European ruler that we call the Antichrist. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said he's warned Russian President Vladimir Putin and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov that the relationship between the U.S. and Moscow is bad, but it can get worse. He said the situation's bad, it can get worse, and it just did. It's going to grow even worse than that. Furthermore, you have Europe, and those in Europe still clamoring for an even closer relationship, which of course we know that the Bible prophesies that in Europe in the last days it will grow to be, in a sense, a revived Roman Empire. The Pope just recently declared Europe must be federal. It must become a federal community or it will no longer count for anything in the world. I could go on and on today. You know, if we just open our eyes, if we just tune in our ears, we can hear all around us more of the same. Just like the Bible said it would be in the last days, so it is. As we look back in 1 Peter chapter 4, I want us to see again this truth. Look at what it says. It says, the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. You and I could be the ones alive the time of the rapture. You and I could be looking at people around us today who will endure the tribulation. We may be just a little over 7 years away from Jesus Christ coming back and establishing His kingdom on earth. The end of all things is at hand. And the first thing that I want to point out about this, so what, as we look at this, first of all, is believe. Believe. It's the truth. The Bible is truth. Just as it said it would be, so it is. This is not man's book. This is God's book. When I look at all that's unfolding in the world today and when I see the stage being set for the coming Antichrist, I just say, wow, this book, these pages, this is amazing. It's supernatural. It's awesome. It's not man's book. It truly is God's book, and it's true from cover to cover. So many today say things like, well, if God showed Himself to me, well, then I would believe. They're looking for a sign. They're looking for a feeling. They're looking for something supernatural. Well, if that's you today, let me say this in answer to you. God has given you something supernatural. It's the book of books that we call the Bible. It's a supernatural sign to you and me. It's a sign that God's Word is true. There is not only a God in heaven, but He rules, and His plan is being carried out in this earth. I presented you today with just a small fraction of the prophecies of the Bible. We didn't take time to look at what the Bible prophesied regarding the Jews and how it's all come to pass and still coming to pass. We didn't take time to look at what the Bible prophesied regarding ancient people groups or how it prophesied of people in the last days trading a belief of God in for a belief in evolution. We could look at how the Bible prophesied regarding the Arabs and how their hand would be against every man. We didn't take time to look at those that bless Israel and how God promised to bless those that bless Israel. We could look at Cyrus the Persian, Alexander the Great, other historical figures, all prophesied in the Word of God, all which came to pass exactly as prophesied. Open it up. See for yourself. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The reality is, if you won't believe the Bible, you would not believe any other sign that God might send you. The Lord spoke words to the rich man who was in hell, and he said, Lord, would you send Lazarus back to warn my brothers so that they would not come to this awful place? And the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, the Lord Jesus Himself arose from the dead. Abraham spoke of that. He said, if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, it was referencing the Old Testament. If they will not believe the Bible, they would not believe the one rose from the dead. And we've seen that to be true. The Word of God is the sign for us today. It is all that we need to look at people and to say, look, Christianity is not just another religion. Christianity, Bible Christianity, is the truth. And except you repent, then you're going to perish. The reality is, if you won't believe the Bible, you wouldn't believe any other sign. Believe it. When the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, believe it. When you read, there is none good, no, not one, believe it. When the Bible tells you that the end result of your sin is the lake of fire, believe it. It's the truth. When the Bible tells you that God became man and that He, Jesus Christ, lived a sinless life and gave Himself as a substitutionary sacrifice for your sins and mine, believe it. When the Bible tells you that you must turn from trusting your own deeds and trust in Christ's death and resurrection to be saved, believe it. When it tells you that by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, your life will be changed, you'll become a child of God and live forever with Him in heaven, believe it, receive it, call on the name of the Lord today. When the Word of God says now is the day of salvation, you better believe it. When it warns that this day your soul could be required of you, you better believe it. When you see that the Lord says He wants you, believe it. Act on it. Respond to it by faith. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Adrian Rogers, preacher that I enjoy, he made the statement, even now the raging waters of God's wrath are furiously pounding against the dam of God's mercy. One of these days, that dam of God's mercy is going to give way to God's judgment, and the day of the Lord will come. We're looking at it setting up all around us right now. It could break loose today. Have you been saved? Now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Child of God, I want to go on in this verse. In verse number 7, the end of all things is at hand. You and I are living in these days. You and I are seeing these things unfold around us. And there is an admonition from the Word of God that you and I need. And it is this admonition, and that is we must beware. You and I must beware. Again, the Word of God tells us, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Be sober, the Bible tells us, as it says elsewhere, be sober and vigilant as your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. We discover in the prophecies regarding the end times that it will be a time filled and inundated with spiritual peril. Iniquity, Jesus said, will abound in the last days. It'll be like it was in the days of Lot, like Sodom and Gomorrah. It'll be like it was in the days of Noah, where violence covered the face of the earth. Temptation, the Bible prophesies, would be on every hand. And the dangers go beyond just these. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4, it warns. It says, in the last days, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Beware of scoffers today. People will tell you the Bible's not true. The Bible's been disproven. The Bible has been proven to be changed. Jesus isn't coming back. You're a religious nut for believing a bunch of fables. The Bible's been changed, been disproven. You need to stop living under a rock. Scoffers. They're all around us today. They might be in your family. They might be at your work. They might be at your neighborhood. You'll find them on Discovery Channel. You'll find them on National Geographic. You'll find them all over the YouTube. Scoffers are everywhere. Recently, many science news media outlets seemed to think fake news was okay when it denigrated the Bible. Researchers recently extracted DNA from skeletons in an ancient city inhabited by Canaanites at that time. When the DNA was compared to modern Lebanese people, they found that modern Lebanese derive about 93% of their ancestry from the Canaanites. There appears to be a little reason to doubt the findings. But here is how science reported these things. They said these findings contradicted the Bible. Here's some examples. The Bronze Age DNA disproves the Bible's claim that the Canaanites were wiped out. The study says their genes live on in modern-day Lebanese people. That was in the Daily Mail. You can find similar headlines in The Independent, in Tech Times, in Mother Nature Network, in The Express, in The Newser, in Cosmos magazine, in Pulse headlines. All of it was a lie. In reality, the Bible clearly teaches the Canaanites were not wiped out. While Israel was given responsibility to drive them from the land, the Bible clearly says they did not do it. They put them to tribute. And after a time, the Canaanites grew stronger and overwhelmed Israel. And yet these news agencies put out there, the Bible's been proven to be false. It was fake news. It's not real. Understand how strong in the world around you is the satanic influence which wants you to doubt the Word of God. There's an individual that I know. When I was growing up, he was my singles leader. He was a deacon in my church. This same individual today hardly goes to church, doesn't get involved, just always seems to be carrying a great weight on his shoulders. Do you know why it is? Because he thinks that the world around us is right. That the Bible's full of errors. That there are things out there that disprove the Bible. I just took some time this morning to show you this is a supernatural book. This is the truth. When you start hearing people say things like Council of Nicaea, say, I'm sorry. But God is God, and nobody can change His Word. This is the truth. Just like the Bible you hold in your hand today, just like it says it would be in the last days, so it is. All its prophecies are true. You don't have to doubt it. Don't let scoffers rule your heart and mind. Oh, I find people, they're just cast down. Say, what can I believe? You can believe the Bible. It is the Word of God. It is true. Beware of YouTube today. You can find people teaching all sorts of nonsense on YouTube. I have run into people that watch YouTube and they tell me all sorts of crazy stuff. And I say, well, where are you finding this? They just watch this on YouTube. Watch out for YouTube. It's full of scoffers. Just because somebody's on YouTube doesn't make them know anything. I had a neighborhood kid who's on YouTube and got his own channel and got followers. Look, watch out. The days in which we live, the Bible says, beware. Scoffers would come. They would claim that the Bible's not true. They would claim that Jesus Christ is not coming back. And it says in the last days in particular are when those scoffers will be present. Beware of scoffers. Beware also today of false teachers. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There's preachers of all sorts and all shapes and sizes now. I just saw this week, and I'm not sure yet whether to laugh or to mourn, but they say Hillary Clinton wants to be a preacher. It's been in the news. Now these verses warn. Then the last days, there'll be preachers filling the ears of their audiences with all sorts of new things and all sorts of lies. And the way they get so good at it is they mingle some truth with the error. They might take a word of God, they might take a verse of Scripture and take it out of its context and distort it. Remember the temptation of Jesus Christ. Satan himself came to Jesus, and what did he do? He quoted Scripture out of context. The false teachers will do the same today. You must beware. You must beware. Beware of the internet. Beware of television preachers too. Watch out for Christian books. Understand that just because something's being sold in a Christian bookstore, it does not mean it will help you in your spiritual growth. It might be the avenue that your adversary is looking for to corrupt your mind. These verses, by the way, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4 reveal the real issue. The core issue goes beyond the false teachers. It says that people will not endure sound doctrine. It starts in the hearer when they want something else. It starts in the hearer when they grow lax in their pursuit of knowledge of the Word of God. It's the hearers. It says they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It says after their own lusts. You can find a preacher. You can find a doctrine that suits you today. You can find it right here in Northport as well as online. It's the days in which we live. Beware. Look for sound doctrine, Bible teaching. If you hear something new, it's probably something false. because there's nothing new under the sun. The Word of God is the established truth. Jesus Christ said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Can I also say today, beware of one more thing? Beware of lukewarmness. Beware of lukewarmness. Some searching words that Jesus made when he was on earth. He looked at the last days and he asked this question. He said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Is he going to find in those last days someone who's living by faith? We read in the book of Revelation as it gives a series of churches, and I believe those series of churches kind of outline almost a church history. And the last one of those churches is that church, Laodicea, and that church which was lukewarm. Jesus said, "Because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth." You know, it's easy for us today, especially in America, because we've got so much, to get just kind of take it easy. To not have the fervor and the zeal for God and for His Word and for living a holy life like He's called us to live. We just kind of grow lax. It's easy for us to look at others around us and to find some people around us where we're doing better than they are and where I'm doing as well as this person over here. But as the Bible says, comparing yourselves amongst yourselves is not wise. Rather, open up your Bible and look in the book of Acts. And when I do that, I say, boy, I'm not doing quite as well as I thought I had. I need to give more of myself to the Lord. I need to press towards the mark. Not take it easy in the last days. If this is the last days, then we are the final ones here today who have the opportunity to get the gospel out into Northport and to take it to the uttermost parts of the earth. We live in a darkening world. It's getting darker. Who's the light? Who's the salt? The salt have lost its savor. It's thenceforth good for nothing. Don't yield to a lukewarm condition. Don't be okay with being unmoved, with not living by faith and acting in faith and praying big things for God. Don't be okay with that. Be someone who says, "I must give my whole heart to the Lord." When's the last time you were moved by the Holy Spirit of God? When's the last time He touched your heart so that you acted in faith? As you evaluate where you are today, is there still that zeal? Is that zeal growing in you that you had when you were first saved? Are you lukewarm today? Beware. 1 Peter chapter 4 then, he also tells us, in knowing these things, being sober and watch unto prayer, he also tells us how to behave. That word behave is one that my mom would use. I'd get into trouble with my cousins or whatever growing up, and she'd say, "Jared," she'd say, "behave." Well, I was behaving, but what she meant by that was behave right. What are the right things? Again, he says, be sober. And all these things, I said, beware. Perilous times are here. The Bible says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You and I are in the midst of a spiritual warfare, and so we're admonished in the Word of God to take unto ourselves the whole armor of God. You and I are in this fight. We're in this battle, whether we want to be or not. We're either advancing for the kingdom of God's sake, or being overcome. We're in the midst of a spiritual warfare. Get serious, as the Bible says, about standing in the evil day. Be sober. Be real. I talked earlier and through this message about the truth. You read in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It talks about those perilous times that would come. And as it goes through how men would be ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth, it tells us how that way of truth is going to be under attack and evil men and seducers will wax or grow worse and worse. And what is the answer in those last days? It gives us the Word of God. It says, that's where it tells us in that phrase, it tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What we need more of in the last days is the truth. You read in that spiritual battles and in our armor in Ephesians chapter number 6, and it tells us one of those key things that we are to take is that girdle of truth. Having our loins girt about. It's interesting, the picture in that object that was used in the Roman soldiers, in the Roman soldiers' armor, that object, having our loins girt about with truth, that belt is what would hold all the other defenses in place. The breastplate that they wore rested on that girdle, on that belt. Our breastplate rests on the truth. Everything that you and I do, it rises and falls on this truth. Consider also in that imagery how that belt, that girdle, wrapped all the way around them. It surrounded the soldier. So today, you and I, we need the truth to surround us. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, it tells us what to think about. If anything is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy, all those things. Where do we find such thoughts? It's right here in the truth. It's to surround. It's just to surround our lives. We read in Psalm 1 about the one who is bringing forth much fruit, about the one whose life is prosperous in the Lord. And what do we find? The one who in God's laws, in God's truth, he meditates day and night. We need the truth. We need it in and around our lives. You can also find about that belt, and not only it surrounds the soldiers and holds up the other defenses, but it also is what enabled freedom of movement without fear of stumbling. As they wore that belt, they would take up the bottom of their garments, and they would tack it in, they would tuck it into that belt. Man, I can't imagine today running in a dress. I know some of you that are here present today have tried. But I'm sure that especially if you're in battle, you don't want to trip. You don't want to fall. You wanted those things to be able to be tucked in. Furthermore, when the soldier would put on that girdle or belt, they were making a declaration. They're saying, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight. For you and I, are you ready? Jesus said, let your loins be girded about and your lights be burning. He was saying, be ready. Live in light of His return. The phrase, your loins girded about, speaks then of readiness. So the Bible tells in verse 7, be sober, be ready, watch unto prayer. We looked at that phrase a little bit last week, watch unto prayer. Can I ask you today, when you look at that phrase, watch today, think about your heart. A watchfulness, keeping an eye over your own heart. When I speak of your heart, I'm not talking about the physical pumping heart, the beating thing within you. I'm talking about that place, the innermost recesses of your being, that place of your emotions, the Bible talks about, let not your heart be troubled. That place of our inner thinking, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That seat of our will, where we make our decisions, as Daniel purposed in his heart. We're told in the book of Proverbs to guard our heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You've got to watch your heart today. A watchfulness that deepens our dependence on the Lord. I want to ask you, as you look at your heart today, how close are you to Christ? Watch your heart. Don't let yourself stray away from being close to Him. He invites us in that relationship. He tells us, in fact, in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Walking with the Lord. We need that. How close are you to God? In the perilous times in which we live, we need to draw nearer and nearer. I remember an instance where my wife and I had gone up into the Gatlinburg, Tennessee area with my grandparents. My cousin had gotten married there. And so we'd gone and we were in Pensacola at the time. We traveled up to Georgia. We were staying with my grandparents. And we drove from Georgia up to Gatlinburg with them. And we told my grandparents about this area that we had been when we were on our honeymoon and just how beautiful it was and scenic. And some have just recently been there, and it really is a beautiful place. just to drive through those mountains. And so my grandfather took us, and we were driving in that car. Now, my grandfather seems to really, really have liked to drive on the right side of the road. And these are roads without guardrails. And I can remember sitting there and thinking, this may be the end. And my grandmother was sitting on the passenger side, and as he would be getting closer and closer to the edge, no guardrail, we're looking at hundreds of feet down into the valley below, and she would say, she was funny, she would say, shoo, shoo, you know, that's what she's saying, get over there, get over there. But I can also remember my wife's actions in those nervous moments. As she was sitting close beside me, we were still pretty much newlyweds, been married for just a couple months, and she was so close to me already, but she had my hand in her hand, and she was just holding it tight. And I think she was also trying to shift me closer to the door to keep more weight on the left side of the car. But she was squeezing tight. She says, help. Be close to me. This is so dangerous. You know, our response should be in the perilous times. It's to the Lord, help. Be close to me. Help me through this time. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. In all these things, when I say beware of the dangerous times in which we live, there is only one sure defense. Walk with God. It's your personal walk. It's not just saying and looking and saying, well, there's bad teaching, I'll stay away from that. Oh, over here, oh, there's scoffers, I'm not going to listen to them. Lukewarmness, I'll try to rile myself up. That's not it. It's this. Lord, I need you. Let me walk with you. It's having a real, dynamic, personal walk with Christ, daily searching the Scriptures, daily taking those things and implanting them in your heart and living them out. Daily watching unto prayer and praying without ceasing. It's your walk with God. And by the way, if that walk in your prayer life isn't hot, you're already lukewarm. The last days in which we live, be sober, watch unto prayer. Above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves. When we have that love for God, we're going to have that love for His people. If you look at the world around you today, there's no reason for us not to understand the times. We shouldn't be asleep. As the Word of God tells us in the book of Romans, awake. It's high time. The coming of the Lord draws near. Now is our salvation, our deliverance, nearer than when we believed. Child of God today, behave like it's the last days. Be sober. Watch unto prayer. Have that fervent charity in your hearts. As we consider all these things today, what will you do with the truth? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, understand the last days mean that you might be about to endure and suffer a tribulation time. People talk about hell on earth. They haven't seen anything yet. But it gets worse after that. But that's not the way God wants it to be. I remember reading a story of a man who complained in the legislature, and I believe he complained. It might have been to Calvin Coolidge. I don't remember. But he complained, he talked about this other sinner, he said, he told me to go to hell. I believe it was Calvin Coolidge who looked back at him and said, well, I've got good news for you. You don't have to go. I've got good news for you today. You don't have to go. Jesus died for your sins. He rose again. And he says, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's a shelter in the time of storm. There is an ark of safety. So when that dam bursts, you are covered. You are secure. You're in the hands of God. Do you know Jesus as your Savior today? Now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Don't delay. trust Christ this day. As a child of God, search your heart today. Maybe you've already begun to listen to something on YouTube. Maybe there's some new discovery that's got your attention. Watch out. Maybe you've grown lukewarm. Your walk with God is not what it should be. You're not attentive to the Lord and living in light of the times. I challenge you today by God's grace to get back to where you need to be. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today thankful for the opportunity to open your word. Amazed as we look in the world around us to see just as you said it would be, so it is. Lord, there's no reason for us to be alarmed as believers. Lord, there is nothing here that should take us off guard because, Lord, you told us what it would be like. Lord, we're thankful for the confidence it brings. We know this is the truth. Every bit of it is just as you said it would be. Lord, maybe there's one here today that is not saved. They have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save them. Father, I pray, draw them to yourself in these moments. Show them their need of Jesus Christ. Confirm in their hearts that your word is truth and that your invitation is real and they can know you as their personal Lord and Savior today. Draw them to yourself, I pray. And Lord, for us who know you as Savior, for those who've been born again, oh Lord, help us to get our lives back on track. Help us to live as though you could come back today. Father, in these things, we just commit this word to you and ask that you be glorified in us and in this invitation. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.